couple decisions for Christ this morning in church. Amen. We certainly don't want to fail to report that. Brother Josh, do you know the total count in Children's Church for people that were saved? Two kids? Okay. Two children were saved in junior church, and then one was saved in Sunday school, Brother DeShazo. So, amen, we're certainly never going to grow tired of kids getting saved. Jesus said, "Suffer the little children to come unto me." Amen. "Forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of heaven." I don't know if that means when we get to heaven, we're all going to be like Taryn. I'm not sure. I know we're never going to grow old, but I don't know if we're going to go backwards. I don't know for sure. But anyway, I appreciate Brother Josh and he's doing a great job in Children's Church. And man, I asked Samuel today. I said, "How's Brother Josh doing with the songs?" And I said, and he said, "He's doing great." I said, "Is he doing all the motions and everything in there?" He said, "Yeah, Dad. He gets up there and dances around and everything." I threw that part in there, Brother Josh. I'm just picking on you, brother. I do appreciate you. I know that you have a heart for those kids, and I really believe that you're a perfect fit for that ministry. So I appreciate all of you doing what you do. I couldn't do it myself. I know that. I don't want to either, quite frankly. But I appreciate all. I'm going to use this tonight, Brother Ethan. Get that on. I'm going to use this tonight. My lapel thing is kind of like, it's cantankerous. It's not always, doesn't always work like it's supposed to. So I'm just going to use this tonight. But open your Bibles, if you would, to 2 Samuel chapter 1. 2 Samuel chapter 1. And we'll begin reading there. 2 Samuel chapter 1. Verse 1, if you would stand with me once you found your place there. If you're able, I sure appreciate your honoring God's word tonight. "Now it came to pass after the death of Saul, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Amalekites, and David had abode 2 days in Ziklag, it came even to pass on the third day that, behold, a man came out of the camp from Saul, with his clothes rent and earth upon his head. And so it was that when he was come to David that he fell to the earth and did obeisance. And David said unto him, From whence comest thou? And he said unto him, Out of the camp of Israel am I escaped. And David said unto him, How went the matter? I pray thee, tell me. And he answered, That the people are fled from the battle, and many of the people also are fallen and dead, and Saul and Jonathan his son are dead also. Let's pray. Father, I pray for your help tonight. I thank you, Lord, for Jesus. I thank you for your Holy Spirit. I thank you for mercy and grace and, Lord, abiding love. I pray now you would fill each one of our hearts with your Holy Spirit. Give us understanding, please. Help me, Lord, to be clear. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Let's read on in verse 5. David said unto the young man that told him, How knowest thou that Saul and Jonathan his son be dead? And the young man that told him said, As I happened by chance upon Mount Gilboa, behold, Saul leaned upon his spear, and lo, the chariots and horsemen followed hard after him. And when he looked behind him, he saw me and called unto me, and I answered, Here am I. And he said unto me, Who art thou? And I answered him, I am an Amalekite. And he said unto me again, Stand, I pray thee, upon me and slay me, for anguish is come upon me, because my life is yet whole in me. So I stood upon him and slew him, because I was sure that he could not live after that he was fallen. I took the crown that was upon his head and the bracelet that was on his arm, and had brought them hither unto my Lord. Then David took hold on his clothes and rent them, and likewise all the men that were with him. And they mourned and wept and fasted until even for Saul and for Jonathan his son and for the people of the Lord and for the house of Israel, because they were fallen by the sword. And David said unto the young man that told him, Whence art thou? And he answered, I am the son of a stranger and a Amalekite. And David said unto him, Listen now, verse 14. How wast thou not afraid to stretch forth thine hand to destroy the Lord's anointed? And David called one of the young men and said, "Go near and fall upon him." That's Bible for go over there and kill him. And he smote him that he died. And David said unto him, "Thy blood be upon thy head, for thy mouth hath testified against thee, saying, I have slain the Lord's anointed." I want to preach to you from that passage, obviously, on the Lord's anointed tonight. The Lord's anointed. In the Bible, Amalek is always a type of the flesh. I'm going to give you some history here and help you understand what's going on. But Amalek is a picture, a type of the flesh. And when I say the flesh, I'm talking about our sin nature, our old man. Amalek is a descendant. Amalek is a descendant, a literal person. And we're going to use our Bibles tonight, so let's go over to Genesis chapter 36. Again, Amalek is a person. He is a descendant of Esau. Look in Genesis 36, verse 12. "And Timnah was concubine to Eliphaz, Esau's son. And she bare to Eliphaz Amalek." There is the origin of Amalek. Amalek was Esau's grandson. Okay, so Amalek was in Esau's heritage, in his legacy, in his line. So you say, "Preacher, so what's the significance of that?" Go back to Genesis 25 and let's find out who Esau is. Of course, most of you know who Esau is, but I want to show you who he is in light of our message tonight. Amalek then is a direct descendant of Esau. In Genesis 25, verse 25, let's read verse 24. "When her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. Okay, we're talking about Rebekah, Isaac's wife Rebekah. So when her days were to be delivered, there were twins in her womb, and the first came out red all over like a hairy garment, and they called his name Esau. And after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold on Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 80 years old when she bare them. And the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter and a man of the field. Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tents. Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob." Now quickly, Esau and Jacob are obviously twins. But Esau, notice, was born first. Esau was born first. He was the elder of the two brothers. He was the firstborn. And so to Esau belonged the birthright. Whatever Isaac, his father, would pass down, and the inheritance, if you will, would go first to Esau. That was his birthright, just by birth. But notice in verse 29, "Jacob sowed pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint." So Jacob was at home cooking, and Esau was out in the field hunting, and he came home faint, tired, and hungry. Esau said to Jacob, "Feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint." Excuse me. Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, "Sell me this day thy birthright." Okay, Esau said, "Behold, I am at the point to die. What profit shall this birthright do to me?" And Jacob said, "Swear to me this day." And he swore unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, a big bowl of beans. And he did eat and drink and rose up and went his way. But notice what God said about him. Thus Esau despised his birthright. Esau gave up his spiritual inheritance in order to satisfy his temporary fleshly appetite. The word despise there in verse 34, despising his birthright, means to count it worthless, to esteem it of no value, to consider it worthless. So let's go back now to 2 Samuel. I just want to show you that because that's where Amalek came from. That's where Amalek came from that that character of man, Esau, who God even says, "Jacob have I loved." Now who is it that God changed his name to Israel? Jacob. Right? Jacob, God said, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. And Jacob and Esau, listen to me tonight if you're not aware of this, Jacob and Esau are a picture of the flesh and the spirit. Okay? And Jacob is the one that, not complete perfect type, because obviously Jacob was not a perfect man, but God blessed Jacob. God gave Jacob and made Jacob turn his name into Israel, which is, means a prince with God, and made him today still the father through Isaac, Abraham, and Jacob, the father of the Jews, the nation of God's chosen people. So, but Esau, listen, Esau was the one that should have had it.
Yeah.
Let that sink in for a minute. It should have been, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Esau.
Yeah.
Instead, Esau was hungry one day. Instead, Esau was tired one day. And Esau said, what good is my birthright going to do to me? I'm hungry. I'm going to die anyway, so I'm going to give it up. So go back to 2 Samuel 1, and I'll get into that here in a minute. But now, in our text, we see here a young man coming out of the battlefield to David, and he admits he is an Amalekite. What does that mean? He's a descendant of Amalek. He's a descendant of Esau. So we see a descendant of Amalek come to David, claiming, notice, to have killed King Saul. A closer look at this text, however, is going to help us understand some things. It's just by way of introduction tonight. Amalek sounded, notice, I want you to notice now, sounded very sincere, sounded very kind. Notice in verse 2, it came even to pass on the third day that behold, a man came out of the camp from Saul with his clothes rent, earth upon his head, and so it was he came to David. Notice, he fell to the earth and did obeisance. In other words, he worshipped David as the king. David said unto him, from whence comest thou? And he said, out of the camp of Israel am I escaped. And David said, how went the matter, I pray thee? He answered, and then he's telling the people are fled, the many are fallen, Saul and Jonathan, his son, are dead. So he sounds sincere. He looks very sincere, very kind, very genuine. Okay? He even seemed very giving and helpful. Look in verse 9. He said unto me again, now let's read verse 8 back up. And he said unto me, who art thou? And I answered him. Now, the young man's telling David about the what happened in the battlefield, supposedly. He said unto him, who art thou? And I answered him, I'm an Amalekite. And he said unto me, stand, I pray thee, upon me and slay me, for anguish has come upon me, because my life is yet whole in me. So I stood upon him and slew him. So it sounds like he's helping. I mean, he's doing the king of Israel a favor. He's putting him out of his misery, so to speak. And he says, I took the crown in verse 10 upon his head and the bracelet that was on his arm, and I brought them hither unto my Lord. So man, he sounds like he did Saul a big favor. He put him out of his misery, and then he brought the spoils to David. Oh, what a blessing. What a tremendous young man. Or maybe not. Because I want you to know something with me and understand something with me tonight. He was lying the whole time. Go back to 1 Samuel 31. 1 Samuel 31, right before this. And let's look at what really happened. 1 Samuel 31, just the chapter right before this, verse number 3. The battle went sore against Saul, and the archers hit him, and he was sore wounded of the archers. Then said Saul unto his armor bearer, not some strange Amalekite. Saul said unto his armor bearer, draw thy sword and thrust me through therewith, lest these uncircumcised come and thrust me through and abuse me. But his armor bearer would not, for he was sore afraid. Therefore Saul took a sword and fell upon it. When his armor bearer saw that Saul was, what's that next word, dead, there's no Amalekite involved in this.
Yeah.
Saul was dead, he fell likewise upon his sword and died with him. So Saul died, and his three sons and his armor bearer and all his men that same day together. Now wait a minute, that story doesn't match what this young Amalekite is telling David. Are you understanding what? So he sounds tremendous, man. He sounds like a great, helpful, young, sincere, genuine man who's trying to give to the king, but he's lying.
Yeah.
Amen. He's lying. Now, I'm here to tell you tonight, and I'm gonna get to this, but David had, you know, I told you already, David had this young man killed. Not because he was lying, but the lying just proves his character, and I'm gonna get to that in a minute. The lying just proved his character, but David had him killed after all of this. It seemed like he was doing a great thing. It seemed like he was giving and helpful. I mean, you know, why have this man killed? Well, here's why. Because Saul, King Saul, was God's anointed king. Now, although Saul had tried to kill David numerous times, David knew that he could do nothing to Saul and still be right with God. I'll be honest with you, if you know the story, Saul was a crazy man. He had lost his mind. He was trying to kill David. You notice he ended up committing suicide on the battlefield. Well, what a disgraceful way to die. He didn't have any shame. He didn't have any shame. He died in disgrace. But still, he was God's anointed man. Although David himself had more than one opportunity to kill Saul, he refrained from doing it himself personally because he understood, listen to me, that God is responsible for God's anointed. Let me say that again. God is responsible for God's anointed. Amen. For His anointed.
Right.
Now, you don't have to turn there. I'm just going to read it to you because you're going to be turning to a lot of other places here in a minute. But Hebrews chapter 10, verse 30, you can write it down. You look it up later. We know Him that has said, "Vengeance belongeth unto me. I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge His people." It was not up to this, even though I don't believe David really probably ever knew the whole truth, because he wasn't there. And this young man lied to him. But even though David did not know how King Saul had really died, he did know that this man claimed to have killed Saul himself with his own hand. And so that was enough for David to understand this man's got to die. This man raised his hand against the anointed of God. This man raised his hand, and even though if it was an act of mercy or charity or whatever the case may be, it was wrong. It was not his place. He was completely out of line to be anywhere near killing God's anointed man. Now, anointed means this, simply this: consecrated and dedicated to the service of God. Now, they would literally anoint them with some oil. They would pour it over their head. It would run down their beards. But it was just a symbol of consecration. It was a symbol of dedication to the service of God. Priests, the Levites and the priests were always anointed of God. They were anointed because that means they were set aside for the full-time service of God. Kings like Saul and David, both of these men were anointed of God. Prophets were anointed because they were dedicated and consecrated to the service of God. Let me show you something tonight in 2 Corinthians over here. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Everybody with me still? Okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21. Priests are anointed in the Old Testament. Kings were anointed. Prophets were anointed. But I want to show you something here interesting. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21. Now he which establisheth us with you is Christ, and hath anointed us is God. Now look, who hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. So today, listen to me, look up here. Today, all of God's people, through His Holy Spirit sealing us, are anointed of God.
Amen.
Set aside for special service. So, preacher, I'm not a preacher. I'm not a missionary. I'm not a pastor. No, but you're anointed of God for special service. If you're saved tonight, you have been given. Remember, I told you they would literally pour oil over these men's heads and anoint them with oil, and that would be a symbol. But what's oil in the Bible is always a symbol of the Holy Spirit. It's always a picture of the Holy Spirit. The oil, put them, anointing them with oil. But now God doesn't literally pour any oil on us when we get saved, but He seals us and anoints us with His very Holy Spirit, the real thing. So when we get saved, we're anointed of God. We're Christians. We're saved. We're born again. But we're also consecrated and dedicated for one thing, to serve God. Amen. To serve God. Now, you may not be aware of the fact that you have a very, very specific purpose in your... But I'm trying to help you tonight. You do. Amen. You have been saved. You have been called out. You have been anointed by God to serve God in some form or fashion with your life.
Amen.
Every one of us that are born again are anointed, sealed, given to us by the Spirit of God in our hearts. Now, today, however, also, if you want to flip over to go over there with me to 1 Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 1. I was talking to the young men about this earlier, but I'll show it to you. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. Also, among God's anointed Christians, God's anointed people, you and me, those of us who are saved, God also puts others of us in the ministry. Verse 12, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful. He, Christ, counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. So today, among the anointed of God, among the Christians, God still promotes certain faithful men to a particular full-time ministry, if you will, such as pastoring or evangelist and missionary, things like that. So, but don't think that person in the pulpit or that person on the prayer letter is any more anointed than you are. They're not. They're just as saved as you are, but God has called them out, counting them faithful, and put them into a particular ministry. But every single one of us, remember now, have been given the Spirit of God, have been anointed by the power of God for some special service unto God. Now, so don't forget that. I'm going back here now to our text over in 2 Samuel. Again, David said in verse 14 unto him, how wast thou not afraid to stretch forth thine hand to destroy the Lord's anointed? Now, listen. Don't forget where I started this. Amalek. The flesh. The old man. It's still in us. We're anointed by God. We're given His Holy Spirit. We're saved. We're called out. We're placed in, we're sanctified, means we're set apart for service. But our Amalek is still in here. Are you with me?
Amen.
Remember, Jacob and Esau were twins. There's twins in here. Not in here. In here. Miss Chelsea's not having twins, is she, brother? You're like, oh no, I hope not. Gina and Giselle, exactly, twins. But in our hearts, in our spirits, even though we've been born again and we've been given the divine nature, the very nature of God through His Spirit, Christ in us, the hope of glory, amen. That's all that we can possibly hope for. That's all the power of all of heaven and earth given to it. But listen, but that Amalek is still in there. And I want you to notice in verse 14, he's not afraid to stretch forth his hand against you. Your Amalek is not afraid of you. My Amalek is not afraid. My Amalek doesn't care how many thousands of messages I preach or how many hours of prayer I spend or how many doors I knock. My Amalek's not afraid of me. Neither is yours.
That's right.
David said, how could you not been afraid? Amalek's not afraid. Amalek has no shame. He's even ready to testify. Verse 16. David said unto him, thy blood be upon thy head, for thy mouth hath testified against thee. You know, he's not only is he not afraid of you, but he's ready to brag about it. Are y'all listening to me tonight?
Yeah.
He's ready to brag about how he took you down. Let me give you a couple thoughts tonight, and we can go home. But first of all, let me say this to you. Amalek will always try. Listen. Always try for the rest of your life to eliminate God's anointed. Amalek is always, 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 day and night, day and night, always trying to eliminate God's anointed. You. Romans chapter 7, quickly. Romans chapter 7, verse 18. Romans chapter 7, verse 18. For I know that in me, the Apostle Paul speaking here, not just some rookie Christian, okay? Not just some newbie, so to speak. Not some wet behind the ears preacher. Not some green, coward, yellow belly, but this is Paul saying, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, in my Amalek, dwelleth no good thing. You need to mark that in your Bible. You need to commit that to your heart's memory. In my Amalek dwelleth zero good. Zero. It is never going to be helpful. It's never going to be a servant. It's never going to be profitable. There's nothing good about my Amalek. It exists. Listen to me. This is an interesting statement that I'm going to make, but I believe it exists to constantly prove our hearts. Look in Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. From the beginning of time, God has had in place around His creation, those of us who were created in His image, in His likeness, some type of Amalek to prove our hearts. Do you understand what I mean? Now, Adam and Eve did not have this nature in them at the time when they first partook of that fruit. But there was still a tree there that served as Amalek. All right, listen, there was still a temptation there. Galatians chapter 5, verse 17 says, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit. If you've ever seen a boxing match, if you've ever seen a wrestling match, if you've ever seen judo or karate or anything, and please don't ask me to demonstrate. I can lean, but that's about it. If you've ever seen two men get up in a boxing ring, there's only one thing on their mind, and that is to take down that other man.
Right.
I mean, they are there for one purpose, and one purpose only, and that is to take down that other man. To put him on the ground, on the mat. I mean, in wrestling, it's pin him. In boxing, it's knock him out. You know, in judo, whatever, all those other... It's to get that person out of commission.
Right.
Out of commission.
Right.
Now I can get points, and I can punch, and I can hit, and I can win a match, so to speak, by earning more points than the other. But that's not my primary purpose. My primary purpose is to take him out.
Yep.
That's what I train for. That's what I work for. That's what I plan for. That's what I prepare for, to take him out. The flesh.
Amen.
lusteth against the Spirit. One thing, Brother Chris, that your Amalek wants to do is take you out.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, eliminate you from God's service forever.
Yeah.
Are you listening to me?
Yes, sir.
There is nothing good in me. The flesh has never, ever done anything but assassinate God's people.
Yeah. That's right.
Amen.
Absolutely.
The flesh lusteth against the Spirit. It's contrary to the Spirit. Amalek will always try to eliminate God's anointed. Number two, Amalek will always try to convince you that he's right. You need to listen. You remember in our story, you don't have to turn back there, but Amalek, man, he was pretty sincere, wasn't he? I mean, as far as I know, David believed him. Of course, we've got the whole story, glory to God. We've got the whole story. We know what happened on the battlefield because God revealed it to us, but David didn't have that. He wasn't there, and he didn't live long enough to see, to read it. But boy, you know, that Amalek was a smooth-talking con man, wasn't he?
Sure was.
Amalek was very apt at convincing David that he was a good guy.
Yep.
Amalek will always try to convince you that he's right. You need to really listen to this. Reasoning, rationale, logic, feelings. It's the flesh, Amalek, is always going to resort to logic and common sense. Don't miss what I'm about to say. Regardless of the truth. The truth was, Saul killed himself. But the truth did not matter to Amalek.
Yep.
The truth does not matter to Amalek.
Yeah, right.
Amalek says, this is what it should be. This is the way it is. And he comes across very genuine. Very helpful. I'm just trying to help you. Hey, I want you to remember, he even gave David the crown. Ooh. Amalek, what a blessing. What a sweetheart. That's what most of you think. But you got to listen to me tonight. That's the furthest thing from the truth. There's no good thing in my flesh. Not only that, but he is very, very experienced in schmoozing. You know what that means? That means just telling me something and making it sound like it's butter and it's cream, but really in reality ain't nothing but rat poison that's trying to kill me. Look at 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. I'm going to spend most of my time on this point, but I want you to understand this. Most people know, well, yeah, my flesh is bad, yeah, but your flesh is very sneaky, very subtle, very well to do, and very knowledgeable in what to say and what to make you think. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies. Privately, remember, not everybody knows they're doing this. Even denying the Lord that bought them. Your flesh, your Amalek, is forever going to deny God. Forever going to deny that you've been saved, deny that you've been born again, deny that you belong to Jesus, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. But verse 2 says, but many shall follow their pernicious ways. That means their lascivious ways. That means their deceitful ways. By reason of whom, listen, the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. You know the reason that so many people hate church and hate the Bible and hate Christianity is because God's people too often allow Amalek to control everything we do. And because of Amalek, the way of the truth is spoken evil of. Okay, let's read on. I don't have time to preach all this because I want to read something and let the Bible do the speaking. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words or fake words, false words, make merchandise of you. That means all they're doing is trying to get rich off of you. Whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. That means it's coming. It's coming. Jump down to verse 10. But chiefly them that walk after Amalek, in the lust, listen, this is Amalek, the lust of uncleanness. Oh boy, I don't have time to preach all this. But by the way, uncleanness is Amalek. God is pure. God is righteous, pure. He's clean. I'm not just talking about your mouth. But I'm talking about every part of your body, every part of your life. Our house should be clean. Our mind should be clean. Our heart should be clean. Our ears should be clean. Our eyes. Cleanliness. You've heard it said. They don't say it anymore. But when I was growing up, cleanliness is godliness. Cleanliness is godliness. And I said, where is that in the Bible? It's in there. I promise you, it's all over the place. But because one thing, the flesh, Amalek, is unclean. If you remember, don't go back to. If you remember, he came into the camp of David. The Bible says his clothes were all rent and he had dirt on his head. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
That wasn't a coincidence. Okay, let me read on here. Where was I? Verse 10. Despise government. Hey, they hate anybody telling them what to do. Amalek doesn't want you to tell them what to do. You know why? Our Bible preaching churches are getting smaller by the generation because nobody's going to tell me and my Amalek what to do. By the way, when the Bible is preached and that thought wells up in you, that's Amalek.
Yeah.
Well, who does? And you start bowing out your chest like some bullfrog. That's like a turkey. That's Amalek. Are you calling me a turkey? No, that's Amalek. I've got to read on. Presumptuous are they. Or he. Presumptuous. Self-willed. Oh, boy. I've got to hurry up. But you just let the Holy Ghost speak to you here. Presumptuous, self-willed. They're not afraid to speak evil. Not only do they not only despise anybody telling them what to do, but they're going to talk and they're going to speak out against those people who are in authority over them. That's Amalek. Don't ever find yourself there. Whereas, verse 11, angels which are greater in power and might bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord. But these, as natural brute beasts. We're talking about Amalek still. Made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of things that they understand not. There it is. Amalek does not understand the things of God. Things of God are spiritually discerned. The Bible is spiritual. The Bible is a book written by the Holy Spirit of God. The author of the book is, you cannot be more spiritual than the Holy Spirit. But the natural man, the Amalek man, does not understand. So therefore they speak evil of it all day long. That's why they're changing it every time they get a chance. Because they don't understand it. Because they're Amalek. They shall utterly perish in their own corruption. That's what happens. You say, well, wait a minute. I know when you get saved, you don't lose your salvation, but you can certainly live in hell on earth. They receive in verse 13 the reward of unrighteousness. In other words, they get what's coming to them. That young man died. Are you listening to me?
Yeah.
That young man died. As they count it pleasure to ride in the daytime. Spots they are, blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you. Whew, man, they're smiling to your face. And this is Amalek. Now remember, I'm talking about Amalek being a very smooth talker, a very adept at working the system, at knowing how to convince you that he's right. They're feasting with you, man. You can't. By the way, you can't ever get rid of them. But look at Amalek has eyes full of adultery. cannot cease from sin. Amalek cannot cease from sin. Amalek will never cease from sin. There will never be a day where you will be sinless until Amalek is for once and for all gone and you are in glory. Amalek cannot cease from sin. Beguiling. Unstable souls, a heart they have exercised with covetous practice. Exercise, they do it all the time. Their covetous practices, cursed children, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. Amalek's going to chase after everything that this world has to offer, but was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumb ass speaking with man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet. God has to use a donkey to get your attention, so be it. But let God do what he needs to do, because Amalek is trying to get you out and away from God. He's not going to stop. Sorry, he's not going to stop.
Yep.
He doesn't know anything else. He doesn't know any other way. Let's read on. Verse 17. These are wells without water. They look good on the outside. Clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. Now, this is talking about lost men, false prophets, but all of this is in you. It's in me because of Amalek. When they speak great swelling words of vanity. Oh, my soul. I can just see some TV preachers flash before my mind. All they're doing is alluring through the lust of the flesh, verse 18, through much wantonness those that were clean escaped from them who live in error. All they're doing is alluring. They're drawing people in because they're promising them, they're telling them everything they want to hear. That's what I'm talking about. Amalek is very persuasive. While they promise them liberty. Oh, oh man, Lord, give me grace here. I want to go off in so many different directions. They themselves, listen, they're promising you liberty, but your Amalek says you just need to get free from all that preaching and all that Bible and all that, so those conviction. Man, what are you doing? You just need to be free from that. Just live your life. Just spread your wings and fly. But you know what they said? They're telling you to get free from the only thing that will save you.
Yeah. Amen. Right.
They themselves are servants of corruption. Amalek is a servant of corruption. But they're telling you to follow them. Amalek's telling you, follow me. Come on over here. But notice, for of whom a man is overcome, the same is he brought in bondage. Hey, Christian, listen, that includes us. If I allow myself to be overcome by Amalek, I will put myself back in the bondage of sin from whence God saved me out of.
Amen.
Do you hear me?
Amen.
If I allow myself to be overcome, I'm putting myself... Now listen, how dumb is that? It sounds dumb, but people do it all the time. I mean, I'm not going to go down here to Denton City Jail or Denton County Jail and walk up to the window and say, can I come in? Will you please lock me up? I don't want to be free anymore. I don't want to eat real food. I want to wear those prison clothes. I want to be in jail. I want to be stinking and have to and do all the things that all the... I want to come in. Please let me in. I've never seen anybody do that.
No.
Never. But here's what happens. Christians do it all the time. Let me back in, Amalek. I'll come back. Come back. Let me back into your bondage of sin. Let me back in. You know why? Because somewhere along the way, Amalek has convinced you that it's better in there. Because he's very persuasive. You sound so sincere. So kind. So giving. Verse 20, if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome. That means after you get saved, you can get entangled again in Amalek and overcome. The latter end is worse with them than the beginning. That's a scary verse. God says it had been better for them not to even know the way of righteousness than after they've known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it's happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog returned to his own vomit again, and the sow that washed was washed, by the way, clean to her wallowing in the mire. Now, I want you to understand something. The reason Amalek is so wickedly deceitful and persuasive is because Amalek is a child of Satan. Okay, you listen to me? A child of Satan. Turn over to John chapter 8. When God says, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated, he's making a very clear distinction between holiness and ungodliness. He's making a very clear distinction between righteousness and unrighteousness, between cleanliness and wickedness. Are you listening to me? So when God's making a clear distinction, he's telling us that Amalek, Esau, and his descendants, are, which is our flesh, according to the word of God, our flesh is a child of the devil. John chapter 8, verse 42. Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, ye would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Now that's God. That's Jesus speaking, but that's the Holy Spirit. That's God. God came, and God's the one that sent Jesus unto us. And he says, but you don't understand me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. Amalek cannot understand. Amalek does not hear the word of God. Why? Because Amalek is of his father, the devil. Verse 44. And the lust of, I'm just paraphrasing here, the lust of Amalek's father does he do. And in my natural self, without any Spirit of God, all I do is the lust of my father, Satan. Before I was saved, listen, notice, he was a murderer from the beginning, abode not in the truth, because there is, what? No truth in Amalek. Remember, our flesh is still a child of Satan. This is the unconverted man that Jesus is talking to here, and that nature is still in us.
Amen.
Okay? That's why it's so persuasive, because it is filled with all the power of hell.
Right. Amen.
In you.
Yeah.
Not in me, preacher. Well, if that's still your thought, then you need to really pay attention tonight. Because it's in us.
Amen.
A murderer, abiding not in the truth, there's no truth in Amalek. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. Now, in other words, he's just natural to him to lie. I mean, that Amalek, that young man was just lying to David. Like it was no big deal, just natural. Just that was his common course of behavior. Why? Because he was a son of the devil. Verse 45 says, Jesus says, because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Oh, man. How many people have heard this Bible and gone on with their lives?
Amen.
You know why? Because Amalek sat there where you sit, and he said, that's not true.
Yeah.
You're not, that's not you. You're an exception to that. That will never happen to you. There's no real hell. There's no real need to get all serious about this. God is love. He's never going to do that to anybody. You don't need to get so ate up with this Christianity stuff. I mean, after all, God is love and grace and mercy. Just he'll forgive you. But, and all of that is partial truth, but partial truth is still all lies. Partial truth is not truth. Partial truth is lies. If I don't tell you the whole truth, then I'm lying to you. And see, Amalek is very persuasive because Amalek is a child of Satan. These Pharisees, unconverted, unsaved, self-righteous people, were children of Satan. Listen, Amalek is very self-righteous. Your flesh is very self-righteous. Your flesh tells you all the time, you know, that you're okay. You're okay. You're fine. Matter of fact, you're better than most. Matter of fact, I think you're about the best. And that's what the Pharisees came to believe. Yep. We're better than everybody. We are the best. I mean, after all, we're the Pharisees. Well, independent Baptists have the truth, and you have it preached to you 3-4 times a week. You read it, hopefully. You read it, you spend time with God, you walk with God, you pray, but you know you got to be real careful that in the midst of all those things that you're doing, that you don't begin to believe Amalek. And when Amalek tells you, man, you got it now, you've arrived. That's a lie.
Amen.
I haven't arrived, neither have you.
Amen.
But Amalek is self-righteous because Amalek is a child of the devil. Did not Lucifer say, I will be like the Most High? Did not Lucifer say, I'm going to be God? Because after all, I'm bigger than God. I'm greater. You don't get much more self-righteous than that. You've got to be real careful. If you become self-righteous and you start looking down your nose at other people, that's not the Spirit of God. That's Amalek.
Yep. Right.
Amalek is also very proud. Very proud. Amalek doesn't need any help. Amalek doesn't need God. Amalek doesn't need the Bible. Amalek doesn't need to be faithful to church. Amalek doesn't need to pray. Amalek doesn't need anything. Amalek's very self-righteous and very proud, very self-sufficient. Why? Because Amalek is a child, a direct descendant of Satan. Amalek doesn't need any help. Amalek doesn't need any counsel from the preacher. Amalek doesn't need any kind of advice. Amalek is also, listen now, just like Satan, an accuser of the brethren. Revelation 12:10 says Jesus said that Satan is an accuser of the brethren. Amalek loves to accuse all the brethren around you. And that just begins to divide you against your brothers and sisters. That doesn't come from the Spirit of God. It comes from Amalek. You begin to pinpoint all the faults that everybody else has as if you don't have any. And you may be more mature Christian. You may be more, further along in your Christian life, but that still doesn't give you any right at all to begin to accuse everyone else of all their faults and failures. That's Amalek, folks. That's not the Spirit of God. That is your rotten, stinking, wicked flesh. That's not of God. Amalek is proud, self-righteous, accuser of the brethren. I want you to turn to Revelation. I'll show you this. Revelation 12, verse 10. Revelation 12. Verse 10, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before God day and night. But I want you to see, I talked about the accuser of the brethren. But see, Amalek not only accuses the brethren, but Amalek weakens the strength that God gives you. Notice it says, now has come salvation and strength.
Amen.
Amalek, when you start listening to him and you start letting him fill your mind and your heart with his lies, you become weaker by the day. Weaker. The longer you accuse other people and consider yourself to be holier than thou and consider yourself to be some kind of gift of God to humanity, every second that goes by with you believing those lies, you're weakening yourself against Amalek.
Yeah.
You're making it easier and easier for him to prove that he's right and you're wrong.
Yeah.
strength comes when the accuser of the brethren is cast down. But if he's not cast down and he's constantly, and I'm listening to him, I'm weakening myself. Do you understand? So Amalek is self-righteous. Amalek is proud. Amalek's accuser of the brethren. Amalek, through that, weakens our strength. Amalek is very hurtful, though. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6 that we have to put on the whole armor of God so we're able to withstand the fiery darts of the wicked. You know, a dart sticking in my leg hurts. A dart sticking in my eyeball hurts. A dart sticking in my chest, it hurts. The Amalek is not out to help you, but to hurt you.
Right.
Because he's a child of Satan. Oh, but don't forget what this young man did. He said he did. He said, I just killed Saul. All I did was kill the man of God. All I did was kill God's anointed. And David said, how could you not be afraid to do that? Because, listen, the truth was, Amalek's not afraid to hurt you.
Yeah. Yep.
I'm hurrying here, but Amalek is a child of the devil. Amalek is accuser, hurtful. Amalek, as I told you already, is very deceitful. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. See, all of these things are who he really is, but you don't really know this if you don't get in the Bible. Amen? 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Because, I'll get to that in a minute. Verse 14. And no marvel, for Satan himself, Amalek himself, is transformed into an angel of light. Oh. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers, Amalek's ministers, preachers also be transformed as ministers of righteousness. Did you see that? Are you seeing that? Are you looking at that? In other words, Amalek has preachers all over this world.
Yep.
Now, are they saved? I don't know. I don't know if they're saved or not, but here's what I will tell you. That when you get away from this Bible, and you continue to go forward in whatever ministry God has given you, you're going to become Amalek.
Yep.
Yep.
Because this is the only truth that we have. This is the way, the truth, and the life. And when we get away from that and we go to the ESV and the ASV and the NLT and the MOUSE, anyway. When we go to all of those other things that the world is producing and pumping out year after year after year after year after year, when we get away from that, we begin to lower our standards, we begin to lower our convictions, we begin to lower, and we become Amalek. We become 100% everything that I'm talking about. We become self-righteous, and we start to call Christians like you and me the same names that we are. Amen. Amen. Thank you, young lady. Say it again. Say amen real loud. Oh, she's not listening. Taryn, say amen real loud.
Amen.
Thank you. Yeah, where's y'all hear that? Oh. But when we get away from the truth, Satan's going to have somebody out there waiting for us to fill our minds and continue to pump out more Amalek. By the way, Amalek's character is what I'm talking about. Lying, deceitful, hurtful, self-righteous, accusing. But yet, he goes to church, preacher. He carries the Bible, preacher. She talks about Jesus. When you get away from the truth, there's nothing left but lies.
That's right.
Yep.
But it says Bible on it. It says church on it. Well, it's no marvel. Satan's transformed into an angel of light, and so are his ministers. And they're nothing but Amalek. You know what they do is they talk bad about the King James Bible. They mock Christians who still believe that we're supposed to live clean lives. They call us self-righteous. Has anybody ever been called self-righteous? Raise your hand. Thank you. The rest of you just ain't living right. Sooner or later you will be. I'm just playing. But you know, when you take a stand for truth and you take a stand for righteousness and for clean living and convictions and separation, then Amalek starts saying, well, you're self-righteous. Well, you're holier than thou. Why do you think you're so much better than everybody else? Listen, that's not coming from the Spirit of God. That's coming from Amalek. And I don't care what church they go to. But you got to be real careful, because that stuff starts to get in your mind. Those lies start to creep into your mind. And doubts begin to come to the surface. Well, what do you mean? Ladies got to wear dresses. What's wrong? We're all saved. What do you mean I can't smoke my cigarettes or drink my beer or watch my filthy television? What do you mean? We're all saved. That's not coming from the Spirit of God, my friend. That's coming from Amalek. And if you're not careful, it's going to get up in your head.
Amen.
They don't even have the Bible. They don't even preach the Bible. They don't read the Bible because they're reading some man-made version. So their ideas are nothing but stemming from Amalek. Did I tell you that Amalek is hurtful? Throwing darts at you? I don't go around throwing darts at people who are living in sin. I go around trying to tell them about Jesus to get saved. But yet for some reason, these people are throwing darts at me. Because Amalek, when a church becomes a coffee shop and a rock and roll concert, it's Amalek! That's all it is!
Right. Yep.
Did I tell you that they're unfeeling? They have no feelings. Be sober. Be vigilant. For your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Listen, Amalek is not trying to caress you. Amalek is looking to devour you.
Right.
He's not worried about how you feel. A lion doesn't care about how that little gazelle feels when he grabs a hold of his back and rips it to the ground and begins tearing the flesh off of it. He doesn't care how he feels. Exactly. You know, Jesus is compassionate and kind and considerate. But Amalek knows a house divided against itself cannot stand. So if I can divide you against that book, if your Amalek can divide you against God's word, you begin to fall. I'm telling you right now, Amalek is very persuasive, but Amalek is a coward. Submit yourselves unto God. Resist the devil, he'll flee from you. Why? Because he ain't looking for a fight. He's looking to devour you. If you stand up and you stand for truth and you stand for righteousness, he's just going to go somewhere else where it's easy.
Amen.
Isn't that a blessing?
Amen.
Amalek, listen, Amalek is never going to do anything but try to hurt you. Amalek is always going to try to convince you, however, in the process, that he's right and everybody else is wrong. So all we need to do, but this is the most important part of the message, is we must crucify, eliminate, kill Amalek every day. No, don't get excited. I'm not talking about literally, but let's look in Galatians chapter 2. Well, because there's some people I know you're thinking, well, really, can I do that, preacher? No, you can't do that. You can't do that. We're talking about the Amalek in you, okay? And let them say what they want to say. I have to do this right here, and I'll be okay. I, just like David, said, go kill that young man. I mean, he wasn't really concerned about it. He said, that man needs to die. That man lifted his hand against God's anointed. That man lifted his hand against the Spirit of God. And that's what Amalek does, never ending, unceasingly. Verse 20 of chapter 2, Galatians. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In other words, I'm not living. Amalek's not controlling me anymore. Christ is. When I got saved, listen to me. Let me tell this real quick. You didn't get saved until you first died to your own righteousness and turned with your heart unto God's righteousness. Okay? Crucifying the cross of Christ, we talked about this morning. The reason the cross came before the resurrection, the reason when you go into the tabernacle, there is a brazen altar of sacrifice before I get to the laver that cleanses, is because I have got to accept and admit and 100% understand that my righteousness is filthy rags. I put my righteousness on the altar. I put my righteousness. I am crucified with Christ. Amalek is going to die on that old rugged cross in the morning, and I'm going to rise up, and I'm going to live, however, but not I, Christ, living in me.
Amen.
That's how we overcome Amalek. The life which I now live in the flesh is still here. But I now live by the faith of the Son of God. Oh. How am I going to overcome Amalek? I'm going to live by the faith of the Son of God. I'm going to live walking in light of this book. I'm going to crucify my feelings. Because my feelings are very deceptive. Very sneaky. Very tricky. Very smooth talking. You know, the Bible talks about a strange woman a lot in the book of Proverbs, you men. But God made me realize one day, it's not just a strange woman, not literally a strange woman. It's anything that tries to take me out of God's will.
Yeah, that's right.
But he uses a strange woman. Why? Because they're pretty.
Because of Eve.
Because they're smooth talking. Because they're flattering. See, the things that the devil throws your way, Amalek throws your way to get you out of God's will, are not ugly and disgusting. They draw you. Oh. Oh. Wow. My feelings say, oh, that might feel good. That's going to feel better than living for Jesus. You better crucify that. You better crucify that. I'm living by faith. Living by faith in Jesus above, trusting, confiding in His great love, from all harm safe in His sheltering arms. I'm living by faith and I feel no alarms. Whew, what a blessing. For to me to live is Christ. Christ. How do I overcome Amalek, preacher? I can't kill him because that means I have to die. You know, you kill him by walking in faith. If you get away from this book, listen, if you get away from walking in faith with this book, Amalek's going to take over. Some of you have already been on the brink of being totally consumed by Amalek. And I'm just telling you, it can happen to anybody.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
I wish I could tell you, you know, in about 3 months or so after you get saved, or 3 years or 30 years after you get saved, he'll die. Uh-uh. Every morning, it's like he's resurrected again. bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. Come on, let's go destroy you again. You better crucify him every day. 1 Corinthians 15, Paul says, I die daily. I die daily. It won't always, listen, it's not always going to seem or feel logical or rational. But if our desires and our feelings go against God's anointing, God's word, by the way, the anointed, holy anointed one of Israel is Jesus Christ. And Amalek is really not trying to defeat you as much as he is trying to defeat Jesus. Because without Christ, we could never be anointed ourselves. We could never be saved. We'd never have the Spirit of God. So, in order for me to overcome Amalek, I've got to walk by faith and living by faith and desiring what God desires. It's God that worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. I've got to submit to God. I've got to succumb to Him. I've got to willingly obey Him by faith. And we cannot allow ourselves to be duped, listen to me, by the general population of today's Bible-changing, sin-loving, devil-serving, loose-living, Christian-mocking church members. They're the worst kind. Because you go out here and find a drug addict somewhere with a needle stuck in his arm, you're not going to say, oh, I want to follow you. But you have a church member who looks good and who looks right and who has some kind of Bible and who goes to some kind of church. And when they start running their mouth, then it becomes, oh, a problem. Because you start to wonder, are they right?
Why?
Are they right? I wonder if they're right.
Amen.
You better get back in the Bible.
Amen.
And find out what God says. Because they're going to prey on your feelings. They're going to prey on your emotions. They're going to prey on your logic and your reasoning. But that is not faith. That's Amalek. I think I've gone long enough. Taryn said amen. So that means it's time to quit. All that glitters is not gold. Can I tell you that? And even if they are saved, I'm talking about the people that are walking and talking and serving Amalek, others and in yourself. Even if those people are not saved, they're walking in the lust of their flesh, in the lust of their eyes, in the pride of life. And those things are nothing but Amalek, and you cannot allow them to destroy you and take you down. You have got to cut them off, put them aside, and live by faith. I care not today what tomorrow may bring, shadow or sunshine or rain. The Lord I know ruleth o'er everything, and all of my worry is vain. Living by faith in Jesus above, trusting, confiding in His great love. From all harm safe in His sheltering arms, I'm living by faith and I feel no alarm. Father, we need you tonight. Lord, I pray that your people listen.